Today, as we celebrate what has usually become to be known as Good Shepherd Sunday, we have to ask ourselves, what exactly is the task of a shepherd? It comes down to two things: to lead the sheep and to protect the sheep. There are lots of things, obviously, that a shepherd does in between, but for the most part, that really kind of encapsulates what a shepherd is about. And that's exactly what we see in the readings today. St. Peter, talking about Jesus as the shepherd and guardian of our souls, the word that is used there in the Latin is episkopos, and which is actually a Greek word, so it means an overseer. It means a bishop. That's actually the Greek word for a bishop. And it's one who has oversight, or to put it into Latin, a supervisor. So one who watches over the sheep. So he is the guardian, the bishop, the overseer, supervisor of our souls. But he is our shepherd. And so we see those two things connected together. But it is in that vein that we then have to look at what St. Peter tells us that Jesus did. He says, he suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his footsteps. Now, when we think of the shepherd, we're thinking of the one who's from Psalm 23 that's going to lead us to the verdant pastures and along the still waters and going to take care of all of our needs and so on. And indeed, he does. But it is in the suffering of Christ that we see the shepherding task most clearly. Because if you ask yourself in your own life, when is it that you need a shepherd the most? It's when you're suffering. It's when you're struggling with things. When you're out in a green, verdant pasture and near the still waters, the shepherd can be there, but you're not really in need of a shepherd to lead you at that point. You're already there in the nice valley. You need a shepherd when it's time to move on from that place, when something else occurs and you're just out there in the field and you're vulnerable. That's when the shepherd is necessary. And that's why even in Psalm 23, then it talks about how the shepherd protects the sheep. He has his staff and he has his all the different things that he uses to protect the sheep. So it's in the midst of the trouble. And that's exactly what Jesus talks about, how the hireling, when he sees the wolf coming, is going to run away. But the shepherd doesn't, because the shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. And that's because the sheep are his own. If you think about it, just from a point of view of parenting, as parents, you are the shepherds of your children in that same way. You're to teach them, to lead them, guide them. But you're also to protect them. And if it came right down to it, you lay down your life for them. We all know the difference between a parent and a babysitter. You can have the best babysitter in the world, still not a parent. They'll take care of their own kids in a way that's different from the way they'll take care of everybody else's kids, because the others aren't theirs. Well, that's what happens with a hireling. They run away. When the suffering comes, they're not going to be around. If it comes time for the sheep to be in trouble, rather than laying down their life, they leave the sheep to the wolf. Jesus tells us he doesn't do that. And in fact, we know that he didn't. He laid down his life for us. And he didn't just lay down his life to keep us from the wolf, but he actually laid down his life, as St. Peter makes very clear in the first reading, so that the effects of what the wolf has already done to us can also be taken away. As St. Peter pointed out, that he himself bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that having died to sin, we might live for justice. So in other words, as St. Paul would tell us, that if one died for all died. So we have already died in baptism. And we are to live for Christ. We are to live for the sake of justice or righteousness, to live a holy life if we're going to follow Christ. Now, again, we look back at what St. Peter tells us and what it is that Jesus did. He said, when he was reviled, he didn't revile. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. But he yielded himself to him who judged him unjustly. So now you have to then look at yourself and say, all right, if our Lord gave us an example of suffering, St. Peter could have said whatever he wanted there. He gave you an example of an easy life. Well, Jesus didn't give us that example. He gave us the example of being in the verdant pasture. He gave us the example of the still water. No, he gave us the example of suffering. Why? Because every one of us is going to have suffering in our lives. Every attempt that we have made to get out of it only causes more. God has, as I keep telling you, an infinite imagination. So we invent all these different things to get out of the various various forms of suffering that people have dealt with over the centuries. And now we have all kinds of new ways of suffering that no one's ever heard of before. So you think you're going to get away from it by taking this pill or that pill or by doing whatever, you're just going to get something different. Because it's a necessity. And we look at it and go, wait, why is this a necessity? Because we want to go to heaven. Because we want to follow the shepherd of our souls. So if the shepherd is to lead us and to protect us, where did he lead us? Up the hill of Calvary, to the cross. He gave us an example of suffering. So as it says, when he was reviled, he didn't revile. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. Ask yourself in the midst of your suffering, what do you do? How much whining and complaining is there? What comes out of your mouth? Sometimes in long-term suffering, maybe we can bear it. So what happens when it's caught off guard? You smashed your thumb. You stubbed your toe. What comes out of your mouth? It's an immediate reaction at that point. You don't have time to think about it. What's coming out? All kinds of ugly stuff, probably. These are the things that all of us need to then work on. How are we going to be able to persevere to the end if we can't even handle stubbing our toe? How are we going to have to deal with any kind of long-term suffering if we can't even handle the short-term stuff? So again, we look at that and we say, all right, as parents, you have to be an example to your children. And we all know that children will do what you do, not necessarily what you say. Oh, you can teach them. We don't use words like that around this house until you stub your toe, and then we use those words around the house, don't we? Yeah. And what did your kids learn? A whole slew of rotten words that they shouldn't be using. My mom used to say, try and teach a kid please and thank you. You have to tell them about 1,000 times. Tell them shut up, and they've got it once. Anything negative, they pick up just like that. The positive needs to be reinforced over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Jesus taught us that over and over and over again. He showed us throughout his life over and over and over again so that we could learn the positive. You look at it and say, yeah, but so much of what our Lord's life was to him would have been negative. Right. And how did he handle it? Positively. He taught us the positive lessons that we have to learn. And how are we doing with those? Yeah, many of us probably not so well. That's why it has to keep happening, so that we can learn. We keep trying to justify ourselves and saying, well, it's okay for me to do because. No, it's not. The because does not give us any kind of reason why we can act in a way that is not good. We're supposed to be able to rise above these things. We're supposed to maintain our peace. We're supposed to maintain our focus on the Lord. You see, the good shepherd, as Jesus points out, doesn't run away when the wolf comes. The question then is about us. When the wolf comes, do we run to the shepherd to be protected? Or do we run away from the shepherd? Which, when you think about a wolf coming after you, it's pretty stupid to run away from the shepherd. Because that's just going to leave you more vulnerable. The wolf's got free range on you. And wolf's got nothing to worry about. The shepherd isn't anywhere to be found because you ran away from him. So now think again what happens when you're made to suffer. Do you draw near to Jesus? Or do you run away from him? It's one of the tragedies of humanity. When things go well, we think that we don't need him. And so we're just on our own, just wandering around out there, and we pay no attention to him because things are easy. When things go badly, then we get angry at him because he allowed things to go badly, and then we wander away from him. It's like, so if it goes well, we wander away, and if it doesn't go well, we wander away. Boy, aren't we just wonderful. How about draw near to Jesus? That's what it has to be. He's not abandoning us, but we're abandoning him. At the very time when we would need him the most, we abandon him. We run away from him. And if we're running away from him, we're running toward the wolf. And that's really dumb. Sheep aren't the brightest of all creatures, and I guess there's a reason maybe why God called us sheep. Sometimes we don't act very bright. But thankfully, the Lord is merciful, and he gives us lots and lots of opportunities. So we have to learn to come to the Lord. That's the first point. And then we have to learn to follow his example. Because he's only going to lead us one direction. Ultimately, that direction is to heaven, where there won't be any more suffering, and there won't be any more trials. But in the meantime, we have to deal with them here. Because this is the only time to grow in virtue. This is the only time that we have to be able to draw near to the Lord. And if we can draw near to him in the midst of our struggles here and stay near to him, then when it comes time for us to die, when the temptations are the worst and things are sometimes very painful and confusing, we've learned through our experience to keep drawing near to him. And at that time, we will draw near once again. And then he can lead us into heaven. But we have to remain with him. So the only way we're going to remain with him when it comes time to die is if we remain with him throughout all those little areas of dying to ourself in our life. And that has to be a daily task. Dying to self, not just when we're made to suffer, but throughout the day. All of us are called to this. So we have this beautiful shepherd who leads us, who teaches us, and who protects us. Again, we might look at it and say, oh, no, look at what he's allowed to happen. He didn't protect me. Look what happened to him in order to protect us. He gave his life because he's the shepherd. He didn't run away, but rather he laid down his life for us. He isn't going to abandon us, but he is going to ask the question of whether or not we love him the same way that he loves us. After all, if he's the shepherd, doesn't it make sense that if he's the one we're going to follow, he's going to lead us to the cross, and through the cross to eternal life? And there is only one way to get to heaven. No one comes to the Father except through me, he said. And the only way is the cross, the death and the resurrection. So should we be surprised if that's where he's leading us? And shouldn't we recognize that if he's leading us to the cross, it's not because he has abandoned us? It's not because he's not protecting us, but in fact doing exactly the opposite. He's teaching us the most important lessons that we can learn, how to stay close to him and how to love him. That's what all of us need to learn. And in the midst of that, how to even be virtuous in the midst of our suffering. That's the lesson that he taught us. That's the example that St. Peter's talking about in the first reading. So that's what every last one of us is going to have to do. It's just part and parcel of our human and Christian life. So the choice is ours. Are we willing to be part of the Lord's flock? He said that the sheep are his own. And he told us that his own will recognize his voice. So now the question is, do you recognize him as your shepherd? He's already said that you are his sheep. But the wonderful thing in this is that he doesn't own us. A sheep in a regular flock is owned by the pastor, by the shepherd. You're not owned by Jesus because you have a free will. He has chosen you, but now you have to choose him. And you need to choose the real Jesus, not the warm, fuzzy one, not the cute one, the real one, the one who's on the cross, the one who suffered for you so that your sins could be forgiven, the one who gave you an example of suffering so that you would follow in his footsteps, which is exactly what St. Peter said. Not exactly the way most of us would want our shepherd to do it. But think about it. If you live in a mountainous region and the valley with the green grass and the nice water is on the other side of the mountain, where's the shepherd going to lead you? Up the mountain. The sheep are going to say, but there's no grass and it's rocky and it's difficult and I keep slipping and falling and I'm thirsty. It's like, just keep going, you'll get there. The pasture's on the other side, but we have to get there. We want to get to heaven. That's the pasture. We need to climb the mountain. We need to go through the desert. We need to do whatever we have to do to be able to get there. That's where Jesus is leading us. So that's what we have to be able to look at and say, yes, he is my shepherd. That's the case. That's where he's going to lead you. And he's going to ask you to follow his example, because that's what he's given it to us for. To be able to learn from him how to be virtuous in the midst of our suffering. To be able to learn from him how to do this so that we can grow in holiness, so that we can be like our shepherd. If the shepherd doesn't abandon the flock, he's not going to abandon you, even if it feels like he does. He doesn't. The question for us is, are we going to abandon him? That would be the most tragic thing we could ever do. And yet, it seems to be so simple when things get difficult to pull away instead of to pull toward him. So that's what all of us have to learn. We have to pray, we have to be seeking union with him, and we have to learn in the midst of the struggles and difficulties to be able to be virtuous, to keep the mouth closed, to keep the mind quiet, keep the soul at peace so that we can actually cooperate with the Lord and become the true sheep of the flock of our good shepherd.